What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, August 17th, and we just finished watching Raw, and you know what time it is? It's time for us to gather together on Mega Powers Radio for the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Want to thank y'all for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, we call ourselves the most interactive post-Raw experience available for a reason. I'm going to tell you all about all those ways you can get involved, but first, tell you some ways you could support the show. The number one way that you could support the Raw Post Show or all the things going on here at Mega Powers Radio is to find Mega Powers Radio on Patreon. Patreon.com/Mega Powers Radio is the easiest way to get there. And for as little as $1 a month, you can help keep the lights on here so we keep bringing you all the cool shows here like the Raw Post Show, All Talk Show, Dace Man Show, Addicted to Anime. Who knows, we might even pop something else up if you give us enough funding to get it going together. So head to Patreon.com, find Mega Powers Radio, and help support us bringing those things to you. If you are not able to spare the extra coin, though, you can still support us in lots of ways, including joining us live here every Monday night following Raw, or subscribing to us on the number of ways that we are available in Archive, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, YouTube. While you're there, please rate, review, help some other folks find the show. It's the quickest way for other folks to find us, actually, through that way. It helps a lot more than you probably think it would. And actually, even more helpful, just go ahead and invite people to listen. If you have some other friends who are wrestling fans, or maybe you think would enjoy our sarcastic, smart-ass sense of humor, please invite them along. And speaking of inviting folks, we are going to be inviting you to participate in this show all throughout it. Number one way to do that is to get in on the phone lines if you want to get yourself in queue because it fills up fast. Pick it up. Dial area code 760-512-7247. That'll put you in line. We'll get you in as soon as possible. In the meantime, you can participate in some of the nine non-voice ways. We got the chat room opened up already. Shout out to the folks who got here early five times. Combo and Wazili. Wazili saying, good Raw in the chat. And I agree. It was a pretty dang good show. And you could also participate via Twitter by tweeting to us at Raw Post Show. The Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. All those ways, we like to see what you guys got to say, and we'll be pulling in your comments and questions all throughout the show. And who's we? Well, let me introduce you to the panelists that we'll be starting the show with in the meantime. My name is Mike Payton, Station Director here at Mega Powers Radio. Joining me tonight is the Every Night Delight, Mr. Drew White.
See, we change this every day. We had a day, and now we're... What's next? Every year? Every month? What's next?
No, eventually you're going to get old. Enjoy your youth while you got it.
Damn. I'll try.
Well, joining me is a man who is getting to that old age, Mr. Stephen Wago.
Ahoy, hoy.
And lastly, Mr. Tony Mango.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Okay. Guys, I thought it was a pretty interesting show. It was our last Raw before this Sunday SummerSlam, biggest party of the summer, as they say. Very interesting card they've put together. I usually expect a lot of big things to happen on their go-home show. As far as that's concerned, maybe they didn't deliver fully, but I think we should learn by WrestleMania this year that go-home show doesn't mean jack about what you could really expect to happen at the pay-per-view. So overall, I think we had a fun show. We had a contract signing between Cena and Seth Rollins. We had a confrontation with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. We had a few tag match plays. We pretty much saw a little bit of activity. We saw a return of Dolph Ziggler. So there was actually a decent amount that went down in the show. But overall, guys, I need to ask you, after it's all done, what's the number one thing you took away from this? Wago, why don't you start us off with that?
Probably because it was the last thing in my mind was, fuck, Undertaker looks old. I'm looking forward to the feud. I think it's being built up a lot better than their previous match at WrestleMania, but fuck, he looks old.
Tony, what'd you take away tonight?
You know, I think over everything else, it has to just be SummerSlam is coming up. And they did a damn good job tonight promoting that idea. I mean, sometimes we've had in the past where a pay-per-view has been, you know, like the go-home show, and they haven't even announced any of the fucking matches, or they don't seem to care that it's coming up, or like lots of different problems that WWE can run into. I mean, even before WrestleMania, we were like, I'm not really feeling it yet. And this show kicked off in a great way, and it kept the theme going of like, guys, fucking SummerSlam is coming up, and it's 4 hours, and it's fucking huge, and here's another announcement, and another announcement, and it wasn't bum, to bum, fill bum, it in. Bum. Yeah, if they would have had the Arby's guy doing it, it would have been even better. It would have been like, 9 matches, what about 10 matches? Bum, 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 bum. But I like that theme that they were going with tonight of, like, let's make SummerSlam seem like a real special big deal. And pretty much every segment hit the nail on the head when it came to at least keeping the excitement going, if not making it even better.
Drew, what did you take away?
The one thing I took away is that Stardust is and I'll go with Wade Barrett as well. God, those two are perfect together. I really enjoyed it. I know I kind of shat on Wade Barrett being in this match last week, but man, I'm actually really pumped for that, for the celebrity match out of all the matches going into SummerSlam.
An observation I made, and I put it out on my Twitter, if you follow me at MRPADEN on Twitter. I don't generally tweet during Raw, but every once in a while I'll come up with something that I feel like sharing on there. Otherwise, you should be following the Mega Maniacs Facebook group to see the constant chat that we have during Raw. But I put out there that between Stephen Amell, and now we also got the announcement of Jon Stewart going to be the host of SummerSlam, this is some of the best celebrity involvement they've had, in my opinion, or at least some of the celebrity involvement that I've been able to get the most excited for. You know, you bring in a guy like Floyd Mayweather, it's like, oh, cool. You know, it's a big name. I know who he is. I could dig it. But Stephen Amell, like, I love Arrow. And Jon Stewart, I mean, that's like a cultural icon for people of my generation. So it's huge to see those guys in there.
Very much so. And they're making it even better by doing the whole thing with ESPN, too.
And, you know, I think that's bigger credit to ESPN than it is for them. I mean, ESPN hasn't really paid much attention to wrestling for a long time. I know there were rumors of talks between WWE and the coach, and I thought maybe that was going to be to do something for the network, but it looks like this is what it was actually for. They're actually going to be featuring WWE more on ESPN, which, hell yeah. I mean, about damn time, and that's does so much for the credibility of WWE.
I mean, if you're going to do eSports on there, you might as well actually show something that actually requires you to do some type of physical activity. So at the end of the day, that's just more publicity for WWE, so it's definitely a good and not a bad.
Well, I want to follow up on what Tony said there by going into our opening segment, which was Triple H and Stephanie McMahon coming out, and this is where I would complain about opening with another authority promo, but you know what? This wasn't a typical authority promo. This was them coming out and promoting SummerSlam. They basically ran down match by match, told you what the match was, why it's happening, why it's awesome, and why your ass better be on the WWE Network watching it for $9.99. It was good. You know, it was a shill, but it wasn't a shill I minded because it was Triple H and Stephanie, and they're entertaining, and the video packages they threw in between was cool, except for this one technical difficulty they had where Stephanie kept talking about Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, and they decided to start shifting over to the Cena versus Seth Rollins card. And you could tell Stephanie sounded mad.
That was awkward as fuck, too, because it was just kind of like, and here's John Cena and Seth Rollins. And she's like, and Brock Lesnar and Undertaker are, and it's like, wait, what? And there's like a 4-second delay or something like that, and Triple H is just kind of like, and we have another match here. Like, fucking
so,
Steph.
Tony, I want you to be the judge of this, since you said that was the thing that stuck out to you. This segment here, did this do a good thing to sell SummerSlam, or was this just a waste of the first 10 minutes of Raw?
This did more to sell me on SummerSlam, as if I wasn't already, you know, going to be watching it and stuff anyway. But this did a better job of selling it than having, say, Seth Rollins come out, talk about his match. Or I'll tell you, even better than the Brock Lesnar-Paul Heyman promo that happened later on. That's probably going to be a totally unpopular opinion, but I would rather prefer Triple H and Stephanie come out and sell a pay-per-view the way that they did, like, tonight for the next foreseeable future, I don't know how many pay-per-views, than to have somebody come out and talk about their own personal experience during a match.
Wazili got a comment in the chat room here saying the music in the beginning was bugging me out while they were announcing the matches. Was that patched into the arena too? I mean, I would assume so. I got to make one negative comment. Their choice of music for SummerSlam with this Demi Lovato song. What the hell
love
is
that?
I was about to ask you, Drew, you're the youngest person here. You're the most hip of what these present day artists are. Is this anything good? Are we just old fogies not getting the hip kids music these days? Or is this really bad, as I think it is?
I think it's a good song. I mean, I'm more of a music geek than anything else. So I think it's a good song, but just the
at least they didn't have that damn cheerleader song.
Yeah, the thing is, that song's about her being dating a lesbian, so it's nothing to do with wrestling or anything that's remotely close to it, but for a summer theme, they want something upbeat, cheery. It'll pass. I actually prefer this song. I would never expect it to be a theme for SummerSlam, but it is. So at the end of the day, I really can't complain about it. It's on my iPhone, so good for me. I don't have to pay for it twice now.
Now, Wago, I know you're a longtime fan of Triple H and Steph. Are they playing this line between going heel and face well enough? Because that's a tough thing to do. Are they nailing it? Like, can they still come out here and seem like good guys to pander to the crowd for something like this, even though they're constantly beating down their heroes?
They can do it. They show that they can do it. Do I agree with it, though? That's another argument. I personally think they need to be generating as much heat every single night they're out there, because when someone does finally get one over on them, it's all built to that. So if Triple H is going to be fighting Seth Rollins, or if they are building to a match with him versus The Rock or Stephanie versus Ronda, they should be out here each week generating a bunch of heat. If they want to do a segment like this where they're promoting all the shows, just put some babyface team or mid-carder that people like that isn't doing anything and let him do it.
Can we not gloss over the fact that Wago just actually pronounced it Ronda?
Yeah, I was definitely like, wait, he didn't say Ronda?
I'm like, wait, what?
I'm not allowed to mispronounce her name. She'd kick my ass.
Fair enough.
Ronda.
I didn't do anything this time.
No, you didn't. You did. You were a good Wago. Don't worry about it. So we want to know what you guys got to think about Triple H and Stephanie and everything else about Raw tonight. Inviting y'all to participate, the phone lines, the chat rooms, the Twitter. Check out the text underneath the box to find out the ways to find all those. Our first match tonight, guys, was a tag match. Player Randy Orton teams up with Cesaro to go against their opponents that they're having at SummerSlam, matching Sheamus and Kevin Owens on the other team. Randy Orton gets an RKO on Sheamus for the pin. Very meh match. I don't even really want to go too deep into this. Do any of you guys really have any comments for this one?
I thought it was fine for being an opening match, but that's about it. It was nothing special.
It's a shame because at the very least, Cesaro and Kevin Owens has a potential to be a really good match in that card. And I even think Randy Orton and Sheamus might pull out some surprises. But this didn't do anything for either of those matches, really. This is like what they should have had 3 weeks ago on Raw. Matter of fact, I'm sure they did.
I have one note. I mean, Cesaro was given the hot tag tonight, and he fucking looked awesome. So,
He had the Cesaro section in pack tonight.
So Cesaro, I thought looked very good in this match, and I don't think he's going to win at SummerSlam, so it's good to build him up now.
Yeah.
Oh, and as great as the Cesaro section signs were, not as good as the Fat Owens Fat sign. That was clearly the camera was lingering on it. As like Kevin Owens was walking out of frame, the camera just hung on to where it said Fat Owens Fat.
I feel like we made a joke like that before, and I'm glad other people picked up on it, even though it's such an easy one too.
Well, I mean, Randy Orton made a joke about it.
So. Yeah, true.
No, or if you believe the dirt sheets, Kevin Dunn did. 3/4 of this match was pretty good.
What was the one quarter that wasn't good?
Sheamus.
All right, so we cut to the backstage area where we find The Undertaker hotboxing a room. And then he starts talking to an imaginary Brock Lesnar, like, dude, I will get my revenge, man. I don't know. This was cool, I guess. They've been doing a lot more of these, like, unique backstage setups for characters where they'll make, like, their own room and their own atmosphere and everything. And this is the first time, to my memory, they've really done something like this for Undertaker. The only other one I can maybe think of is when they had him in that chair when he was calling out Triple H, and he was in that room with all the pictures on the walls and stuff. So this was neat. He didn't really say anything that stuck out to me significantly, unfortunately. This heel Undertaker, and I want to talk more about this maybe later. Maybe we'll follow up on this. But what did you guys got to say about this promo here?
Well, I'm not sure that he's a heel, but I guess we're talking about that more later. But there's nothing to take away from this. It was just the typical, yo, I'm dead at the show. You're fucked.
What a hit of this, man.
That'd be so great if that was the promo. He just comes up, yo, dude, I'm like dead or something. I don't know what's going on.
It's like the wrestle crap Undertaker, like the really early days of the gimmick before he really got it down.
He starts going, ooh, I'm a ghost or a mummy or something. and I want your blood, or whatever.
All right, well, we see Seth Rollins in the back with the Authority, and he starts convincing him that if he is able to win both titles at SummerSlam, then he believes that he should have a statue of him made and put in the entrance office at WWE World Headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. And as he said, if you go into the entranceway there, they have these big bronze statues. They have one of Andre the Giant. He said they had one of Bruno. I didn't know they had one of Bruno. I knew they had one of Ultimate Warrior. And now he thinks he should get one of him. This, I don't know what this makes me. I honestly think this almost means that Seth Rollins has to win. And I feel like that they're going to make this statue now, and then someone can come and destroy it. And anyone else get that feeling?
I thought the same thing, and I actually expect that now. I know a lot of people think Cena's going to win, but I want to see the fucking statue now. I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Tony, haven't you ever heard of Chekhov's statue?
And I actually was going to say here that the statue doesn't predicate him actually winning, but I think that that was kind of like a given beforehand anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, can you really see Seth Rollins' title reign ending with John Cena out of nowhere winning it?
I mean,
the fact that it's John Cena means that there's definitely a possibility, but like 2 months ago, even like right at Battleground, I don't think anybody would have been like, you know what's going to happen next? John Cena is going to be the champion. Like, maybe that is their plan. I don't know, but I kind of look at this as like
John Cena's cap to unify the belts, isn't it? Don't think they won't do it.
Oh, it's definitely a possibility, but I think that there's far more weighing in Rollins' favor, and them adding this little stipulation, no, that's not really like too much of a stipulation, but adding that little extra factor into there makes me believe in it more. And if they do actually go ahead and build this like Seth Rollins statue, all the better for them. I mean, that just gets more heat. It's more ridiculous for his character. And he's got to reach a point where he becomes so egotistical and so over the top that even Triple H can't take it.
Yes. And if he has both titles, mm-hmm. how does that not help set that up so much more?
Right.
It makes so much more sense for him to get both those titles. Here's my question. If he does get the statue, does it make it to WWE headquarters?
I think they'd unveil it like at the show.
It wouldn't actually be at one of those bronze statues. It would be made out of like paper mache or some shit.
And then colored with bronze. I don't know. I could see them bringing out it on Raw and making a big celebration out of it.
Mm, and like they unveil it on the stage and then someone pushes it off or something.
Yeah, do with something like that. Or at the most, you keep it in some kind of like the warehouse that they've got. Because you know they're going to be having that whole like actual Hall of Fame. They keep mm-hmm. talking about that. You know, maybe they'll put that in there somewhere, or, you know, something like that.
Seth Rollins statue, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you ask Sean, he should probably have his own wing.
Oh, that Sean will actually be able to say this time that he's the champions.
Hey-o. Well, if you out there got something you want to say about Seth Rollins, John Cena, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, or anything else about Raw or SummerSlam, dial in with your phone, area code 760-512-7247, because it is past 11:30. We're going to start opening up the phone lines. I suppose it's 7:30 if you're listening on the West Coast, right? Do I know my times? I'm not very good with time zones.
I think it's 3. It might be 8, but it's Hawaii time, I think.
We're opening up phone lines. We're bringing on our first caller. They're for the 646. I don't know what time zone that is, but they're live on the Raw Post Show, and I believe this is our friend Aisha. Aisha, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, guys?
What's shaking, Aisha? How you feeling after Raw tonight?
Yeah, I felt Raw. I enjoyed it. I watched it with my grandma again, so watching my grandma, you know, she has no wrestling, but laughing at no apparent reason makes it fun to watch. I mean, SummerSlam, I guess, I mean, the call was decent. I think it should be good. It'll be good. I have slight expectations, but since they're hyping it up so much, saying this is going to be the greatest SummerSlam card ever, and then they're probably going to put effort to it, so.
Well, it's certainly looking good, and they're going to New York, which long-time history is their home spot. I mean, you would have thought that for WrestleMania, though, and WrestleMania 29 was god-awful.
Oh, God.
But,
I did not go to WrestleMania 29.
This was the last Raw, so I mean, are you fully hyped then? You're good? Do you feel like everything is complete and you're looking forward to everything on this card, or do you feel like there's any loose ends?
I mean, I'm glad I got my NXT tickets. I know I'm going to NXT TakeOver, so...
Oh, hell yeah, me too.
What section are you in?
217.
Oh, I'm 214, so...
Oh, snap. I'll be looking for your sign. You're going to have a Mega Powers Radio sign, right?
Well, I'll probably make a sign, but I'm just too lazy to go to the store.
What match are you looking forward to on TakeOver the most?
Definitely, I'm going to be biased. I love my girl Sasha, but definitely the main event, Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. The ladder match is going to be awesome.
The ladder match is going to kick so much ass.
I know, oh my God.
I'm a big Sasha lover as well, but... I'm not liking her chances on that night.
Yeah. But hey.
It's okay.
But it should be good. And Jushin Thunder Liger versus Tyrese should be good.
Hell yeah. And that Apollo Crews guy making his debut. Samoa Joe versus Baron Corbin. Yeah, I know we could all be excited for that one.
Okay, that makes me excited about TakeOver and SummerSlam.
It's going to be a very big weekend for wrestling fans, I got to say, between TakeOver, SummerSlam, and I have to think that since they're having this Raw in that same building, they're going to go hard for that, too. I wouldn't be surprised to see some new debuts from NXT on that night, maybe Enzo, Big Cass, perhaps somebody else. I don't know. Very interesting to see what might happen throughout that. So, Aisha, what was your high point, low point for Raw tonight?
High point, Destiny seems Cesaro doing this thing, and it's been a long time because he deserves what he's talented, and I don't know why Vince doesn't see what he has. What the fans love him now. And
he doesn't connect with the crowd, except, you know, the 100 people who show up with Cesaro's section signs.
Yeah, Vince, he's out of touch, whatever, but but Destiny Cesaro doing this thing, little point. I don't see any little point, but I didn't. I enjoyed the show tonight, so I didn't know
complaints here. All right. Well, that's always a good way to go out on it. All right, Aisha, you enjoy this weekend. You enjoy TakeOver. You enjoy SummerSlam, and I'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, you too.
Have a good night. All right, fellas, continuing the conversation on with us here. We had a match between Roman Reigns, Luke Harper, with Dean Ambrose sitting on commentary, Bray Wyatt out there as well. It's actually this funny little moment where last week they had Bray Wyatt steal Byron Saxton's chair. This week, Dean Ambrose stole the chair for him and tossed it towards Bray Wyatt. Like, here's your chair. I love Dean Ambrose's character. Another match that didn't really do much to build what's going on at SummerSlam. It was a fine singles Raw match. They didn't have any botches. There was nothing awkward about it. They're both good hands that are growing that I think are going to be big names going in the future. Roman Reigns probably more than Luke Harper. But Luke Harper, too, I think is going to be a big player for them going through the next 3-4 years. Wago, I think you're the other person here who is kind of big on Luke Harper. Do you think that he's going to have a chance to break out of this at some point? Because unfortunately he was put on his own for a little bit. Then he's being roped now back into being just a side member of the Wyatt family. Is there still hope for him?
There's hope for him. And I think his time to shine is going to be in one of those odd periods where there's a lot of the top guys are injured or not available because of movies, and they're straining for an upper mid card heel to main event heel. And that's when he'll get his time. But, I think he's going to flounder for 2 years or so, and it's a shame because he's got a lot of talent as a big man.
I don't know if he's got, like, a hairline that's going to last that long.
Shit, maybe it'll make his whole look work a little better. You never know.
Well, the cricket's got lots to say there, I could tell. Tony, we continue to see the friendship of Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose played up. Wrestling logic.
Mm.
What's this meaning for us here?
Better not mean what I think it's going to mean, because I don't want either of them to turn heel. And it doesn't matter if it's like Roman Reigns turning on Ambrose or Ambrose turning on Reigns. Not only in the context of the story doesn't really not make any sense, but these two are just not in a position to be heels. Like, Dean Ambrose is over as fuck. Roman Reigns is doing better than he was at the beginning of the year when everybody fucking hated him. if you were going to turn him heel, it should have been at the beginning of the year. It should have been at, you know, post WrestleMania, not now. And I don't know if they're panicking when it comes to that third Wyatt family member, turn somebody else. Think of something crazier to do. Do the Leo Kruger thing. Do, I don't know, bring in somebody from NXT or something like that, but you don't turn one of them. So,
whoa, I just had a wild idea. What if you turned both of them? They both turn on each other, and then it turns out they've just both been hypnotized by Bray Wyatt and under his spell.
Nah.
No, man.
If anything like was going to happen here, I'd rather it be Luke Harper turning on Bray Wyatt and being like, you know what? It kind of sucks that I have to say, like, I'd give my life for you, dude. And
what happened tonight that Luke Harper was like laid out and Bray Wyatt was just like cuddling over him? Did he hit him with a Sister Abigail?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember seeing that.
I feel like I missed something when they came back. And I just see Bray Wyatt like standing over Luke Harper's body and he's like, follow the buzzards. I'm like, did he sacrifice him for something or what went down here?
I didn't think twice about that, but now that you brought it up, I missed whatever happened right before that, and it does seem a little bit awkward that he was kind of hovering over him.
Anyone else fill us in here?
Actually, I was wondering the same thing. It just kind of, like, I turned away, I looked back, and he's just like over the top of him, and I was like, the fuck happened? I didn't even hear a maneuver, like, crash into the ground or anything.
The previous, like, 10 seconds of this is, like, in the abyss. Nobody saw this, and I don't mean that shitty TNA wrestler.
You don't mean that he's going to be the third Wyatt family member in Abyss?
No. Wazili just linked a video here in the chat room called The Top 40 Moves of Luke Harper / Brody Lee. Oh, Brody Lee? Yeah, he knows Tyler Black, doesn't he?
Fuck's sake.
He follows up saying he needs to do the truck stop. Just that he has a move called the truck stop.
I don't know what the move is, but yes.
Yeah, he should totally do a move called the truck stop.
Diesel should have had a move called the truck stop back in the day.
Didn't he?
Oh, man, that old theme song was so goddamn annoying.
He wrestled on the indies with the same clothes, so he's just had those clothes for so damn long.
It's not the same outfit, it's literally the same clothes.
Yeah.
He's been wrestling in the same shitty jeans and wife beater t-shirt for like 15 years.
You know how they always say that you like you sleep in your car and you really like kind of like hobo it up on the indies and stuff like that? There you go. Explains the clothes.
So since Seth Rollins became the heir apparent of the authorities passions and admirations, I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say, but since he got taken under the wing of Triple H, let's say it like that, he's probably gotten a home, right? So we can't really make fun of him for being homeless anymore. So, is Luke Harper the new homeless guy?
He doesn't look too much like a cat. Or spider monkey.
But do you think Bray Wyatt actually gives him a home? Like, I imagine Bray Wyatt has his shack and Luke Harper has to just, like, stand outside and lean against a tree to fall asleep.
Maybe a shed, if anything.
Yeah, that shed that they used to film those, or the barn or whatever, where they filmed those little vignettes back in the day.
Mm.
Maybe he, like, sleeps on the floor there. Or maybe Bray Wyatt's, like, really good at carpentry. Like, he made that fucking chair, and he's just, like, building shit all over the place.
Well, he has, like, 50 of those chairs, so.
I remember but The Undertaker used to be really good at carpentry. Maybe that's, like, part of the job description and being the face of fear. So, like, he's the new face of fear, so you have to be good at carpentry.
Can you intimidate people? Can you beat the hell out of people? Are you good with wicker?
Bray Wyatt, Wicker Man.
Wicker Man.
Ah, the bees, no, man.
That's Rusev. This joke's going in so many directions. Didn't this start off with us saying, like, Luke Harper's good or something?
I think there was something about that in there. There's something about truck stops. We had a Divas match. Tamina actually gets some ring time in a singles match. I don't remember the last time we saw Tamina in a singles match. It was against Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch getting the victory with a disarm her. This couldn't have been more than 5 minutes. So this is unfortunately a receding thing for the Divas. Honestly, no one wants to see Tamina in there for too damn long anyway. Anything anybody wants to add about this match?
Oh, Tamina would have won.
Really?
Yeah. I'm still... PCB. PCB.
PCB?
Yeah. They've won like every fucking match. I'm still going to hold that against them. That they better lose Sunday or I will just throw away this past month as being nothing but stupid for this Divas Revolution thing. I've been on that since day one and they still haven't proven me wrong. So I wanted Tamina to win. I didn't get that. You know, it's whatevs. I could be in a minority, but still. Tamina.
Did somebody not get what they want?
Oh, did the little Drew not get what he want? I know.
Very upset. You're pretty good at making fun of yourself.
I do have a pretty good fake Drew cry laugh, so I perfected that over the years. Whenever people made fun of me in school, I was just like, oh, look at me too.
Shut up, Dwagon boy. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that really worked for you.
Yeah.
No. So Wago, what do you think? Is team PCB winning too much?
Yes, but at this point I say you've done too much damage, so just fucking go all the way with it. No point.
Just like have them win and scrap this goddamn storyline.
Just have them win. And just erase all the old Divas and send them back down to fucking NXT and just start and just use the NXT division up here.
Why not? Yeah, just have them reunite with Eva Marie down there.
Might as well.
They could have a total Divas reunion down there.
I'm starting to think that maybe that's what it is because they don't give a shit about the Bella Twins in this feud.
It almost seems like that's like what's happening in general with the roster. Like people come up to NXT and then other people are being sent down to NXT or up to WWE, I rather should say.
Well, if you're performing lower than the developmental guys, that's what should happen to you.
That'd be great. Like, it is in this weekend, since they're all in the same building, like someone just came out in the beginning of NXT TakeOver, it's like, so you might want to watch Raw Monday night to see some interesting things. And then we turn on Raw and it's like all NXT guys. And then from then on, like, you turn on NXT and you see, like, I don't know, primetime players and like... Oh, God.
Los Matadores down there.
That'd be awesome. I finally have a reason not to watch NXT.
Well, we had our next match was Rusev against Mark Henry. A pretty unimportant match. Rusev actually gets him in for the accolade for a little bit, which Mark Henry was like not having any of that. He's like, my back does not bend like this. We are getting out of this. We're doing this a different way. Rusev gets the victory. Lana comes into the ring, calls in Summer Rae, slaps her down, calls in Rusev, and oh, we get Dolph Ziggler making his return. Oh my gosh, the world goes wild. No, nobody really cares. Dolph Ziggler still looks like a douche. Jacket's still ugly. I'm disappointed that this match is actually happening at SummerSlam.
I cared.
You cared? Like, really? Are you really genuinely excited that Dolph Ziggler returned? Like, did this time away really help you and rehab him for you?
I didn't have a problem with Dolph Ziggler. I've always been a fan of him. He looks kind of douchey with this whole, like, hippie thing that he's got going on, but, you know, it doesn't make him any worse in the ring, and it doesn't make him, you know, any better of, like, a wrestler or anything like that. Like,
yeah, but this whole thing with him and Lana, is this, like, doing anything for you?
No, but see, the reason isn't because of the lack of the Dolph Ziggler thing. I'm bouncing around here. I hate the fact that this dragged on so long, and what we've only seen so far is what we saw other than the Ziggler thing this week. Like, how many times can I watch Summer Rae and Lana yell at each other, and then one of them attack the other one? That I'm over with. Like, that's done. When you introduce Ziggler back in, and you go, well, we're going to have this match... Yes, because that means that we're not going to have to sit through the match at Night of Champions. Last week, I think it was last week, Lana was like, you know what? Dolph's not going to be back until after SummerSlam. And I was thinking to myself, fuck, if she just said that, that means they probably specifically said that because they don't want to have this match at SummerSlam. And we're going to have to wait another 4 to 5 weeks before we have this match. And, you know, depending on when Ziggler's done with this movie... How many more times am I going to have to watch these two women attack each other and Rusev fight somebody like a Mark Henry where you clearly know that that person's not winning? So I'm all for this match happening at SummerSlam and not afterward.
Well, I was just about to say, just because this happens at SummerSlam, you really don't think they're going to do it again at Night of Champions?
Not necessarily.
You think they're going to pay off like whatever? Because there's got to be some type of payoff for this. Something's going to happen with all these characters involved that has an end game for what they're doing here.
See, I don't know. It's tough because at SummerSlam, we've got all these people that aren't going to necessarily be in the same position anymore. I mean, we already know that the main event people aren't going to be there. And the likelihood that we're going to get a lot of other people on the card, too, is pretty slim. Like the tag title thing, we're not seeing Los Matadores in Night of Champions. Like, come on. So there's less room, and maybe there's some more, like, being able to play around with things to get other people into the card and stuff. It's a little difficult to figure out, but there's less of a chance that they would have this at Night of Champions now that they're having it at SummerSlam, and also less of a chance that these other matches are going to be dragged out too long for having this match in there. So I like that.
Wago, a big rumor that's been going around, potential double turn. Maybe we see Ryback and Lana reunite as babyfaces. Could you follow that?
Well, the fact that you said Ryback and Lana, no, I couldn't.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Well, Ryback and Lana would be awesome.
I'm actually hoping that is the case, and I've actually been a fan of this feud, oddly enough. I like that there's a big separation of the women wrestlers and then the women eye candy. I think there's a place for both, and this feud, people like the Lana character. I don't know what it is about her, but she's fun, and when you get to see her throw down, that's fun too. As far as Dolph Ziggler's return tonight,
kick tonight. That roundhouse kick she did, oh my goodness, I know she had it in her.
Dolph Ziggler's return tonight wasn't the best thing in the world, but it served its purpose, and he got a decent pop, so it builds something with such little time towards SummerSlam left.
Oh, I know why she could do that roundhouse kick. It's all that acrobatic sex she's been having with Dolph Ziggler.
Just being taken care of him.
Indeed. Drew, is there anything going on here for you with this match?
Well, there was a roundhouse kick that was pretty cool, and I mean, I could go with the Sean route and just talk about my fantasy team and how it's not going to be screwed, but I'm actually looking forward to this match. I was a fan of it before Dolph left, and I'm still a fan of it now. I'm not 100% sold on the outcome or the possible turns that you guys have mentioned, but I think it'll serve its purpose as a buffer match in between two bigger matches, and you need those on a pay-per-view, and I'm fine with this being that.
Indeed. All right, we're going to transfer ourselves over to the phone lines, take on another call. If you want to get yourself in line to be heard tonight on the most interactive post-draw experience available, pick up your phone and dial into it, 760-512-7247. That'll put you in queue. Just be patient, please. We do have a lot to get through here on the show, but we do try to make time for every single person who calls in. So we're going to take our next caller here from the 609 area code. Caller from 609, you're live on the show. Who's at the other end?
It's Chanel. What's up, guys?
What's shaking, Chanel? How you feeling after Raw tonight? What'd you think of the show?
I thought the show was pretty good. It served its purpose, got me excited for SummerSlam. I can't wait to watch it on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting that all around. People have definitely been feeling the excitement as we get closer to the biggest party this summer. This is something I used to ask back in the day, and I'm going to bring this back. How do you watch your pay-per-view? How are you planning on watching SummerSlam this Sunday? What kind of setting are you going to be in?
I'm probably going to watch it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, like actually order it on pay-per-view? Like standard old-school pay-per-view?
Yep.
Wow, why don't you get the WWE Network?
I don't have the network.
Pay for it. Did you not listen to JBL tonight? It's $45 less just for that alone. And you get TakeOver with it as well.
Obviously, he's tuning out JBL.
Yeah, but
does Jaden's mom not let you buy it?
My parents don't let me.
Oh, that's so whack. You know what you got to do? You have to get a radio show to prank call them as John Cena. And then maybe they'll let you get it.
Oh, I call that out. Sounds
So, Chanel, now that it's all said and done, the build for SummerSlam is complete. Are you fully excited for the card? Is this having the potential to be a big show for you?
I think this is going to be a big show. It's being covered extremely well. A bunch of promotions, a lot of good matches.
ESPN.
I think it's going to be a... Say again?
ESPN will be covering it.
Yes.
They're going to have a live broadcast from the location of SummerSlam the morning of it. It's massive.
It is. They're really making this a big show.
It's the big show. What match are you most looking forward to throughout this whole weekend? We got a big weekend going on between TakeOver and SummerSlam. What are you looking forward to the most?
Well, first off, I'm looking forward to TakeOver. That's going to be a very exciting. That's going to be a very exciting show as well. And also, the biggest match on SummerSlam I'm looking forward to, Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, just because I still don't know who's going to win. They've been building this very well. I'm excited to see what WWE chooses to go with this. Where WWE chooses to go with this.
All right, ready to start wrapping things up here, Matt. What was your high point and your low point for the show tonight?
The high point was... I guess Brock Lesnar coming back and getting that huge pop, well deserved. And low point, the tag team championship built, even though I still think the match is going to be pretty good.
All right.
Positive though.
Absolutely. People are definitely having very good moods after talking about Raw, and that's always a fun time to talk about it rather than everyone being, the show is so bad tonight. Same shit week in, week out. Can't stand those people. All right, man. We're going to move on here. We got a couple other callers, and we got to finish out our topics about this, too. So you have a good night, man. We'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, thanks.
All right, fellas, let's move things along here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Of course, as I said, if you want to get yourself involved, dial in on your phone, 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype if you press the Skype icon at the top of the page. Tweet to us at Raw Post Show. Join us in the Blog Talk Radio chat room or the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Tons of ways to get involved. Yes, Creepers on the Radar, that is, in fact, I cannot stand those butt boys. Nothing like butt boys to piss you off. So, we had Ryback versus The Miz. And this time it actually is Ryback, not Rusev. Big Show was on commentary. Ryback easily gets a shell shock victory on Miz. This was almost like squash match proportions. If it wasn't for the fact that The Miz had a little bit of a promo before the match. Although, I guess so did those two is greater than one guys that used to face Ryback. Ryback calls Big Show into the ring. Big Show just walks to the back. And that's the last bit of our build that's been going on for like three goddamn months. Holy shit. I cannot wait for... You want to talk about a feud that I cannot wait to get over.
Mm-hmm.
This. So much this. Oh, gosh. Tony. Big Show looking like a chump here?
A little bit. But, meh. You know, I'm over it. The same kind of way that you are. Like, they could have not even had this segment, and I would have been fine with it. They could have just had, like, you know, Intercontinental title match is happening, and Ryback is fighting Curtis Axel. Cool.
Drew, after this months long feud, was this an exciting way to finish it off? Do these guys have a hunger to rip each other's throats apart?
Maybe Ryback, because he's always fucking hungry, but I don't know about the Big Show, so I'm kind of in the same boat where they could have thrown anyone else out there and I'd probably be more excited about it. But man, I haven't been looking forward to this for like a month and a half now. I think it's there was a backstage segment of about a month and a half ago now where Ryback just completely destroys the Big Show. I thought that should have been the end of this and we should have moved on after that because I thought he showed his dominance there. I don't know why we're still doing this, but hey, you know, it is what it is, and Ryback better win this Sunday.
Now, Wago, you mentioned that about the other match. How about this one? Are you in the same boat? Boats.
As far as the triple threat match goes, I'm actually in favor of it. I like the feud.
Jeez.
What? I enjoyed it. I liked what The Miz has been doing. I think Big Show's actually been pretty fun when he's been on commentary. I dig it. I'm looking forward to seeing Ryback kill some mofos.
I'll give him credit. That one line he had as a comeback to everyone telling him to retire, where he's like, find somebody to retire me. It's a good comeback from Big Show. So, we have the Authority inviting out Seth Rollins, who I don't know, he rambles on for like 10 minutes. But he does have one good line here that I did kind of like. He says, John Cena is a disease and Seth Rollins is the cure. I thought that was kind of cool. Cena comes out. This is for the contract signing, by the way. Cena, before signing his contract, finally starts making reference to him saying this will be, if he wins, his 16th world championship, which will put him in the elite tier of Ric Flair, which would be insulting to both Seth Rollins and Triple H and Ric. I don't know. Yeah, it's insulting to Triple H. That's what I'm trying to say. I guess the biggest thing to note is this is a contract signing where no violence happened. and John Cena had a good line at the end, too, where he was like, unlike Triple H, he was never Ric Flair's bitch, but on Sunday, you're going to be mine. But that was kind of neat. I don't know. Wago, you excited for this? Is this a good contract signing? I mean, I know we always tend to shit on contract signings. How did this one live up to them?
I'm over Seth Rollins at this point, and I've been over for a few weeks.
This is a recent thing, then.
Yeah, I've had my fill of him, I should say. He's not doing a bad job, but you get tired of seeing certain guys in certain positions, and I've just had my fill. I'm ready for him to take that upper mid-card spot again.
So you are saying you are so burnt out on Seth Rollins, so you think they should give it to John Cena?
The most credible guy in the company? Yeah, sure.
That's fair, I guess. I mean, maybe Brock Lesnar would be above him.
Well, he is the greatest wrestler, kayfabe boys.
Absolutely. Drew, what about you? Is this, as far as contract signings go, where would you rate this?
I don't know, because it's so different. I don't know if I could comprehend it, but...
Your mind was blown when it happened.
I was waiting for something to happen. No, like...
dude, it was like your first time eating pizza. Just so out of this world.
I know. I can't even explain, man. So, I will just throw a line out there. All you're ever going to be is who I beat to become the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. So, I thought that was a pretty cool line. It's most likely will happen now. So, oh well. It was fun while it lasted. Seth, nice knowing you, bud.
So, Tony, as our resident Metro, how's Cena looking a couple weeks after getting a broken nose?
Resident Metro?
Yeah. You know, you dress the nice shirts, do your hair up with Jeff.
Oh, I'm thinking Metro like the city. I'm like, you're the one who lives in New York. What the
fuck? Yeah, you live as close to the city as I do, though. That's probably close. Anyway.
Wait, what were you asking me? Something about Metro.
How does John Cena look in a couple weeks after getting his honker broken?
It looks damn good. I'm sure if I was in that capacity, I'd still be like in a hospital bed going, my nose hurts. This is so painful.
Honestly surprised he didn't sound like this.
If he would have sounded like that, I would have thought he would have said imposter. But
could have played his own theme music on his nose.
The best part about this whole segment, though, was a line that John Cena said, which really sums up quite a bit of his career in a lot of ways. And credit to him for if he thought of this on the spot, it's amazing. If he didn't, it's not as impressive, but it's still kind of good. Where he said, half the crowd saying, let's go Cena. Half the crowd saying, Cena sucks. Nobody's saying a damn thing about Seth Rollins.
That was so, awesome. Painfully true.
Exactly.
And it's funny because just a few seconds before, the crowd was cheering for Seth Rollins as he was talking about how he was going to dethrone John Cena and he was the disease. And they were getting into it. And then Cena comes out here and drops that line and, the whole crowd just roars.
They're like, go Seth Rollins? Fuck. Because it's a good point. And, you know, that did more to sell this pay-per-view for me. Not the pay-per-view itself, but the pay-per-view match itself than almost anything except for the whole title unification part. I don't really have that much interest in Rollins versus Cena. It should be a good match. But I kind of already know that, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't on this situation. So I'm more concerned about what happens afterward than what actually happens at SummerSlam.
So here's an interesting question. This is not the main event. You know, this is a co-main event or a sub-main event, whatever you would want to classify it as under Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. With John Cena getting taken out, that certainly had to change plans as far as how they wanted to build it. Do you think it helped it, or they could have done more with it if Cena was around?
I think it helped it. Sorry, was that directed at Ed, just Avenue 1?
That was just a general question.
Okay, cool. I think it's benefited it in some ways and took away from it, because obviously you don't have as much heat building there. But at the same time, since they had that match, which Cena already beat him in, I don't want to see Seth in any other potential scenario where he looks weaker again. So this has kind of given Seth some time to bloom and build some momentum again.
Wazili in the chat room saying, Cena was good tonight. I think the fact that he called Seth Rollins Captain Morgan, and I've thought the same thing before, and that helps. I don't think I caught that one. What do you call him, Captain Morgan? He does look a lot like him, though, with a blonde streak. I'm going to pull in a tweet we got here as well from Dane Quinn saying, a real man puts his woman in harm's way. Hashtag Rusev. I'm afraid to click the hashtag Rusev because I wonder where that might lead. But, all right, so our contract is signed. This title-for-title match at SummerSlam is going to make history one way or another. And while I said before I'm, like, 90% sure Seth Rollins is winning this, there is always this possible chance John Cena can win this, no problem at all. I will say this, though. If John Cena does win, it needs to be something significant.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a reason why they did this.
To set up The Rock vs. John Cena 3.
Oh, fuck. I will say this. If this ends up being Lol Cena wins, and that's the culmination of everything they did here, John Cena keeping the U.S. title from fucking Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins holding on to the Money in the Bank for so long, being the chosen one, winning the title off of Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, just to end it with Lol Cena wins at SummerSlam. I'm not fucking doing the Raw post show the next night. I'm fucking saying that. I'm not doing the dead. I'm not going to say for good, but I'm not doing it the next fucking night because I'm going to be goddamn pissed.
But if they would have done this contract signing and John Cena would have bounced off the ropes like Andre the Giant when he did contract signings, would that have made up for it?
Well, it should have been Triple H because he had the cheesy suit on.
So if you don't do the post Raw show, does that mean we can do Smack Talk on Monday?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, we're doing it tomorrow. So.
So we'll move on to our next bit here. We had Lucha Dragons and Primetime Players against Los Matadores and New Day. Was this an 8-man tag or was this a 4-way tag match? I couldn't tell what the
hell it was. It was an 8-man tag.
It was. Whatever. Lucha Dragons got the pin here.
This was a match.
Yeah, this just happened so fast. There were so many people there and I didn't care. I'll admit it was probably a factor. I had that like thing, you know, where you have Sheamus on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw all the tag teams on there, and I'm just like, okay, focusing on something else.
I will say one thing. I thought it was interesting. It's because the way the match ends was pretty much Xavier and the Bull get into a tussle with the two teams just holding back each other's respective own while Titus got the win. I thought that was clever and funny, so I will give him props for that. But other than that, there was not much to note of this.
All right, well then, we're just going to keep on moving along. We had a backstage interview with Team PCB. Basically, once again, reiterating that the Bella era is over once again. And at the end of this, they do a collective clap and a group woo. I'll say it's better than when Charlotte does it by herself, at least.
Woo.
I don't understand why she woos so much. Your dad never did.
No, he definitely never, except for when he got like a crazy old man status and then he wooed like all the time.
Yeah, but that was awesome because that was senile flair, especially like when him and Kurt Angle had a fucking woo off.
Oh my gosh, gold. And, you know, give TNA credit. It was hilarious when him and Jay Lethal did it too.
I think it was better. It was like Jay Lethal fucking amazing and that's why he's Ring of Honor World Champ right now. But that ain't WWE, so fuck that.
Not going to talk about people that aren't in WWE. All right. We're going to take on one more caller here before we talk about the last segment of the show on Raw. So we're going to take on caller from 954. Caller from 954, you're live on the Raw Post Show. Who's there?
Hello, this is Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
So, P-Rick?
Yes. What?
What?
Okay. Really, Raw was pretty amazing. With the exception of, I mean, one thing I'm a little bit mad about is how Undertaker is the one who attacks, who gets the upper hand by attacking Lesnar, which mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel a little bit upset. Like that clearly, well, to me, that clearly proves who's gonna win, not the Undertaker. And so, like, yeah, because like he's tombstoning him, like, you know, chokeslamming him. Clearly, he gets the upper hand, and half the time, the person who gets the upper hand ends up losing at the pay per view. So I'm pretty much upset what happened in the end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also supposedly I heard that, like, not really heard, but like, that people have been saying, like, oh, that John Cena, because he has new attire now, his new shirt, it pretty much spoiled, like, what's going to happen at SummerSlam. Oh, because his shirt says... Okay, his shirt says 15 times.
And it then does.
Clearly.
Yes, and that's why he's talking about if he gets his title next, it'll be 16. History making win if John Cena is able to do it. Patrick,
yeah, of course he's a fan.
How are you planning on watching SummerSlam this Sunday?
WWE Network.
Yeah, smart man. For only $9.99 for those of you listening out there. Patrick, your high point and low point for tonight's Raw.
Okay, I really like the ending though. Like, even though I was a little bit upset about it, but like Undertaker just like choke slamming Brock Lesnar, obviously, you know. Get mm-hmm. the upper hand. And then low point really is that there was this backstage segment with like Neville and King Barrett, which meant absolutely nothing. Like Barrett with his like all hail the Cosmic King when he's facing Stardust and Stephen Amell. And pretty celebrities always win. We already know who's gonna win that match. Celebrities always win, pretty much.
Not always, but that's probably very likely.
Whether it's Lawrence Taylor, whether it's Snooki, or whether it's Maria Menounos, celebrities always win.
All right, Patrick, we're going to move along here. We only got a few minutes left of the show.
All right,
you have a good night, man. We'll catch you on the other side of SummerSlam. All right, gentlemen. He actually brought up a segment I almost forgot. They had a backstage segment with Stardust and King Barrett, who now has been renamed to the Cosmic King. We'll see how that works out. More importantly, I actually want to mention the video package that they had where they were promoting the match. Really awesome stuff where they had all these like comic book panel effects and all the dots all over it. One of the coolest video packages I think they've done in years. Really cool to see. Tony, I know you're probably the biggest comic book fan here. Did this tickle your fancy?
Very much so. It's very cool that they're doing this. And you know, you can't do it all the time, and it's something that you need to take with like a grain of salt, a little suspension of disbelief, even more than our normal stuff, but it's cool. And Stardust is supposed to be like a, you know, kind of whacked out nut job, so of course he would be into that. I don't know about the Cosmic King. That's a little bit weird, but it was supposed to be The Miz, and the fact that they couldn't do that because they fucked up with their planning for Battleground and everything like that means that they needed to switch it up, and who better to put in there than Wade Barrett? And he's got the King thing. He had a little bit of room to play around and stuff, so, you know, at least they're trying. And good old Stephen Amell is going to be pretty good to go here. Neville's going to be great, so I'm all in for this feud. I think that's cool, and I hope that it gets like a really good spot on the card too. If they fuck this over and it ends up being like a 5-minute squash thing, that's going to be disappointing.
Wago, I was watching this segment and I just got major flashbacks. I'm talking about the backstage one, not the video package, actually, with Stardust and the Cosmic King. It just screamed 80s wrestling for me. Did you see a similar vibe in this?
Yes, I did. Out of this world characters that, by our today's standards, are kind of really stupid. But for some reason, I didn't mind it. Maybe it's because they're pushing this whole comic book theme thing and not just trying to, like, spring it on us in the normal environment. So it's working. I like it. And as far as Cosmic King goes, I'm going to give it a chance before I shit all over it. But I really do kind of want to shit on it.
Tony, I just got to give a shout out for you in the chat room talking about Cosmic Brownies and Star Crunch
and Stephen Amell.
Dude, I love Cosmic Brownies and Star Crunch.
Dude, I would just wolf them down right now, especially Cosmic Brownies. They are like fucking best.
You know who else would? Undertaker. After hotboxing that room.
Oh man, I totally remember wrestling Star Crunch.
Oh man, I would love to eat some Star Crunch, but I'm dead, so I don't have a stomach.
So add Stoner Taker to the list.
That's why his eyes like go into the back of his head.
That's why he takes the first bite of pizza and he's just like, dead.
American fat ass.
The rest in 8 pieces.
Goodness. All right.
Cut me off before I keep going.
Leave me alone, Michelle. Let me rest in peace. Fucking stone.
Tombstone.
Our main segment tonight, guys. Paul Heyman comes out and he says that it's a Brock Lesnar homecoming ceremony because they are in Minneapolis, where Brock Lesnar is not from Minneapolis, but he is from the upper area of Minnesota, and he did go to college in Minneapolis, so they're not completely wrong. Paul Heyman, still on his A game tonight, decided to grace us with a rendition of Glory, Glory, Brock Lesnar, and he sang it with every bit of vim and vigor that he had in him. Paul Heyman, I dare anyone to name anyone better on the mic right now. And a guy who is arguably in the twilight of his career and is still just delivering some of the most amazing and unique promos that you're seeing right now. Anyone have anything to challenge that? Anything, please?
Nope.
Not even gonna try.
While Heyman continues bragging until the Undertaker's gong sounds for the second time, actually, they teased one earlier. I don't know if it was supposed to be like Brock Lesnar did it and it's like, ah, look what we did. We made you think the Undertaker was coming. Or if it was like Undertaker did it first as mind games. I don't know. They weren't really specific about it. But the second time Undertaker does appear and just instantly goes for a low blow on Brock Lesnar with a kick. I just was not expecting that, because every time when Undertaker appears out of the darkness like that, you know, he usually goes for a choke slam or something like that. And to just see him appear and just go poof. Just a kick right to the crotch. It just looked hilarious to me. And I'm sure that was not the intent, but that is how it came across for me.
It's the Rochambeau match at SummerSlam.
Undertaker does a choke slam and a tombstone, then poses for the crowd. The crowd is just booing him to hell. And this is why I really think he's a heel. Because tonight in Minneapolis, and of course he is because it's Brock Lesnar's hometown, but I think they did that on purpose. I think they planned all that to happen like that on purpose. I really do think they are trying to keep The Undertaker as the heel in this, because I think they want to keep Brock Lesnar as a babyface. They started that route for him when he was going against Seth Rollins, so why not continue it? Plus, I always thought it would be cool to have Undertaker do one more heel run, even whether there's more to come from him than just this is to be seen. But, Wago, you had an opinion you wanted to throw in on The Undertaker being heel or what right now, so what do you got to say about this?
I don't think he's necessarily had a heel turn, but I could see him playing the heel for this match. You see that happen. Typically when two babyface stars go at it, one of them heals it up a little bit. The reality of it is...
they've been playing up the low blow a lot, because this was actually the second time he hit him with a low blow.
If we're to believe that these guys like despise each other that much and want to rip each other's throats out that much, why wouldn't you kick the other guy in the balls?
Well, that's fair. Especially when he's fucking Brock Lesnar.
Remember, this is The Undertaker here. The Undertaker is by no means a fucking saint. He tried to crucify Stephanie McMahon. The guy's fucking a psychopath, so I'm fine with it.
This is fair. Did they ever announce a stipulation for this match?
Nope.
Oh. Odd.
I gotta imagine that's because they just want to either do it like on the night, or, I don't know.
Maybe it'll just be like one of those Attitude Era things where like every match was just kind of like no DQ.
I could see this match starting off with a brawl where they do shit outside of the ring and then it becomes that.
Oh, yeah, like maybe they just gets out of hand and maybe Triple H is like, all right, you know, we need to have this match happen, so we're making it no holds barred or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he'll make it no DQ.
And then Undertaker's like, dude, that's awesome.
Tony, do you have any opinion about whether this is a heel or not Undertaker?
He definitely does seem like he's playing more of a heel, kind of in the same capacity that Shawn Michaels was the heel in their first match at WrestleMania. Their first match at WrestleMania, that's mm-hmm. right. And 25. He was definitely the heel in that, but he's not the heel. Like, Undertaker will never be heel again. Brock Lesnar, he could be the heel again. This match, though, he's kind of going in as sort of the underdog, even though he's the one that's beaten Undertaker a whole bunch of times, because it seems like Undertaker is a guaranteed winner. So, you know, it gives you a reason to kind of root for Lesnar a little bit.
There's something to be said for the environment that they're in. And of course, because they were in Minneapolis tonight, you're going to get a monster reaction for Brock Lesnar and they're going to hate who attacks him. New York is a very unique crowd. And I'll definitely be interested to see how they're going to cheer on this match.
I'm thinking split.
It probably has to be split. Matter of fact, I don't even think it's going to be split. I think it's just going to be, let's just get fucking excited whenever something cool happens.
And one douchebag going, Randy Savage.
And then one little kid going, let's go see it. For some reason, every time Brock Lesnar hits a suplex now, that kid's still saying it somewhere. It's like Pavlov's dog or something.
He's the dog. This little kid's become a dog now.
Drew, can you grace us with a version of Glory Glory Brock Lesnar?
Maybe for an outro, but not now.
You said it, guys. He's going to do that as the outro for tomorrow's Smack Talk.
There you go.
Well, yeah.
So it was written, so it shall be done.
And if he doesn't, then yell at him.
Yeah, then you got to have, like, add me to the Fuck That Guy Club or something.
Sure. Let's see here. Dane Quinn tweeting out to us at Raw Post Show. Cena's injury hurt the feud. Rollins could have cost Cena the U.S. title to Kevin Owens. Very true. But as I said, they have to have a reason why they went this route.
Also, and
if they don't, then it's going to be an upset.
If Kevin Owens is going to beat John Cena for the U.S. title, it needed to be clean. I don't want him having some bullshit win. You are either doing it or you're not.
And then he like owes a favor to Seth Rollins and like.
Yeah, I don't like that shit. That's not. Blur the lines between who's with who any more than it needs to be.
All right, fellas. Any final thoughts about this main event segment? No.
Solid.
Well, fantastic. We're going to start running into our final bits that we have here. I actually have a new segment we're going to be debuting here, but first, let's take care of some of the other business. First off, my favorite commercial for the evening. Actually, I do have this one for one this week. And I'm going to give this one to one of my favorite companies for commercials. I've never used their service, so I can't say they've necessarily worked on me, but I've always appreciated almost every single commercial they've ever put out. In fact, their commercials do so goddamn well, they once got a TV show based out of one of them. I think you guys know where I'm going with this. This was a Geico commercial, and this one that they had tonight was this guy is like running through a desert, and off in the distance you see this like, I don't know, Mad Max type car is approaching him and chasing after him. And he's running through the desert, and all of a sudden he gets stuck into quicksand. It's like, oh, fuck, I got a car chasing me. I'm in quicksand. What am I going to do? And then he looks over, and his savior's there, a cat. And he's like, go get help, boy. Go get help. And the cat just stands there looking at him, as you expect a cat to do. And, of course, the voiceover says, if you're a cat, you ignore people. That's what you do. And, man, if that ain't the truth. Goddamn cats.
Fucking cats.
Mm-hmm.
Dog would have helped.
And they actually had a similar one to this that I saw last night while I was watching Humans. It was, they were like on a golf course and the guy's like getting ready to do his putt or whatever it was. He was near the water. And then all of a sudden, like this giant like octopus tentacle arm comes out and like starts grabbing him and flailing him all over the place. And they have the golf announcers and they're like calling the Kraken coming out, but they're still doing it in like soft voice. And he's like, well, he's using a 9-iron to hit that Kraken. I think he's going to need a bigger club. And then the voiceover's like, If you're a golf announcer, you talk soft. That's what you do.
I missed a little stack of money with the eyeballs.
Oh, those were good ones, too. And they were playing the Always Watching Me song.
Yeah. That was great.
I remember one of them, they had, like, the money was, like, under a box with a string under it. And it's like, this is a trap or something. I can't remember the whole joke, but it was a good one. Yeah, so Geico. Pretty consistent with their commercials. Almost always. I don't know who they have doing them, but I hope they're paying that company good. And speaking of commercials, I have to speak about a travesty that's happened to one of our favorite commercials, the KFC Colonel and his $5 fill-up. Well, apparently we've been lied to, and it was an imposter Colonel, and now we have a new one. What the fuck?
Maybe this one's the imposter. I will never believe that other one is the imposter. You can't make me believe that.
What if that's how that came out? What if this actually is like an extended storyline that they're doing?
They're going to have to call in Cliff Clefton and like... It'd be crazy.
It's going to be too much. I don't think I'd be able to handle it.
Norm's great, but he's no KFC Colonel.
He is so dry and boring.
Free biscuits, taters, something. $7 fill-up.
Gravy.
All right. So next game that I have here for you guys, well, the first game, I should say, Who Said It? If this is your first time listening, this is where I pull a quote from tonight's show, and I ask you guys, who said it? So I got two of them for you guys tonight. So the first one is... It was very painful. My neck hurt for a while. Who said it?
Lana.
It was Lana. It was when she was on commentary talking about being put in the accolade. Very good, Wago. All right. Next one is, I show up on Sunday and I do what I do. I win.
Big Show.
It's not Big Show.
Sounds like something Mark Henry would say, though. I do what I do.
Mark Henry's not going to be there on Sunday.
Unfortunately, he's not.
Ziggler.
Was not Ziggler.
Yeah.
Wago, you're the one who hasn't said anything yet.
I missed the question.
I show up on Sunday, and I do what I do. I win. Who said it?
Big Show.
No, she guessed Ziggler.
You guys didn't get it, but actually, someone in the chat room did. So I'm going to give it to Wazili on this one. John Cena. I'm actually surprised you guys didn't catch that one. You know, Tony, earlier you mentioned that John Cena basically had a line that wrapped up his career in a nutshell. I thought you were going to say this one because that pretty much wraps up John Cena too.
That's true.
I show up and I do what I do. I win. Lol.
That's would have been great, though, going back to what Drew said with Mark Henry. If in the back, Mark Henry's just kind of like, he do what he do.
All right. So, guys, I have a new game I want to play with you guys. And this will be our first time doing it. And hopefully, if it's fun, we can bring it back and keep doing it once in a while.
I hope it's Candyland.
No, it's a game. I'm going to call it Tap Out. And see, the way this works is I'm going to give you guys a topic, and we're going to start with one person, and we're going to go around to you guys one at a time, and you're going to have 5 seconds to name something from that topic.
Oh, thank God. I thought this was going to be about some ugly-ass t-shirt.
You mentioned
I thought it was going to be about the Smack Talk segment Tap Out.
No, it's going to go... That's a Smack Talk segment?
We did it once.
No.
We haven't done it a single time since then because we can't agree on any kind of like topics, and I can't think of anything else.
Well, then. So it goes from one person, goes to the next, and then you keep going around in a circle until one person cannot give an answer in that time. You guys understand?
Sure.
Pretty simple rules?
Sort of.
Big Show.
Overweight.
That is not the topic. all right, so the order we'll do this in is Tony will go first, and then Wago, and then Drew. And then we'll go until someone can't get an answer in. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So, the topic for you guys is people who have held multiple belts at the same time in WWE. Tony, go.
Ultimate Warrior.
Yep.
Yeah, Kurt Angle is better.
Yep.
Rob Van Dam.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel was better.
Mm.
Ooh. The Colons, I believe they held... No, wait, it was Tyson Kidd and David Boy Smith. They held both the tag team titles before they unified them.
Does that count that? Actually, yeah, I'll count that. Okay, yeah, that's good.
John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
All right, so then, Drew, between you and Tony.
Oh, wait, we're continuing? Ah, shit, fuck. Yeah, I got nothing. I can't think of it.
All right. Well, that was a fun first round. Tony, you are the victor of the first round of the Tap Out.
So yes.
Congratulations. You can put that one under your belt. Actually, I had a fun idea for what we can give for the winner of this every week. You get to do the plugs at the end of the show. And you're going to do it in a style. No, but you're going to do it in a style chosen by a member of the chat room. You ever see Whose Line Is It Anyway? Think of it like that. So, chat room, if you're listening, suggest us a style that Tony can do the plugs in.
Does that mean if I'm like, Whose Line Is It Anyway, that I get to write it beforehand?
No.
Nope. They don't get to write it beforehand.
Oh, they totally do. You think Wayne Brady's making up that music on the spot? Bullshit.
No, but I did think that the tall guy did.
Ryan Stiles? Oops.
Ryan Stiles, about the guy that was guy. In 2.5 Men?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. but before we do that, first we are going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to talk about what the best part of the show was, the worst part of the show, and what the most god-awful, terrible part of the show was. If you're in the chat room, feel free to drop your good, bad, and ugly as well. We're going to hit ours up first, though. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about all the things on the show that made it as good, bad, and ugly. So, Wago, what was your good, bad, and ugly?
So, for my good, I have the Undertaker vs. Lesnar segment. I think it's exactly what they needed to end on. For the bad, I'm giving it to no Stephen Amell. I think he needed to be a lot closer to the week of SummerSlam, so that's disappointing. And ugly, I'm giving to Seth Rollins' voice. He sounds terrible.
Can't you just give it to his face?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. He might have broke John Cena's nose, but Cena still looks better.
Is that who you're voting for in the tournament?
Yes. Drew, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good for tonight definitely has to be the Cosmic Kings of Wade Barrett and Stardust. My bad for the night, I think I'll have to go with the first Divas match of the night, which was it was Becky Lynch and Tamina. Nah, that's more so about the outcome. I'm disappointed about that. And my ugly, Seth Rollins' face. You know, I don't even know how he made it. I think he made it like 2 rounds into the tournament too. I don't understand how, but fuck, ugly ass motherfucker.
Well, it ain't for his dick size.
All right, well, in the chat room here, I got one that was put at the beginning of the show. Wazili saying, before I forget, he made up his own, the best, Cena calling Rollins Captain Morgan. Good, Cena's speech, also good. Cesaro, also good. Harper Reigns. Okay.
Harper Reigns.
Sounds like a really cool movie.
I prefer Rhombus Reigns still.
Bad, not much. And the ugly, Fat Owens Fat. Yeah, that's fair. For my good, I have to give it to Glory, Glory, Brock Lesnar. That was such an amazing rendition. Kudos to Paul Heyman. My bad? Actually don't have one. Not I really don't have anything. Build. I just thought it was genuinely bad on the show. I thought it was a pretty solid show overall. My ugly, while I do want to give it to Seth Rollins' face, there was one thing that was a little bit uglier on the show, and that was Dolph Ziggler's jacket. So I think this might be like the third time Dolph Ziggler's jacket has gotten this award from me. So, yeah, Dolph Ziggler getting the hat trick on there.
Yeah, I think he's got it at least a couple times from each of us.
All right, so let's see how this goes. Oh, yeah, Tony. Yours.
My good outside of the promotion for SummerSlam is going to be the line, New Day, always has the odds stacked up against them. What the hell's going on with that? I like that. That was fun. The bad's going to be still how awkward it is when they try to announce, like what Stephanie said earlier, when Team Paige Charlotte Becky, fuck you. That is a terrible name. And the ugly, that end of the tag match with Cesaro and company. What happened there? Cesaro gets thrown into the ropes and he kind of like tries to climb them and like looks as confused as some kid on Global Guts. Then the RKO block was just kind of like, nah, I don't really want to take it today. And he was just like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I'll just give it to him instead. Like, it's very fucking awkward. I don't get that at all.
That was kind of awkward.
Yeah, I didn't even see Cesaro actually take Owens at the match either. It was just like, eh, an RKO and he wins.
Yeah, it was kind of bad camera placement.
That whole thing was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Very ugly.
Shit, Kevin Dunn could deserve an ugly. He's had a few botches tonight.
All right, well, we are going to come to the fun part of the show. And based on a recommendation in the chat room, well, first, Tony, rather than having you do it, I'm going to let you pick someone to do the plugs.
Hmm.
So who of the losers do you think should do the plugs?
Wago.
Wago?
Yeah, Miguel.
Fuck you.
And by suggestion of the chat room, Wago, you are going to do it in a robotic voice.
So you mean you want me to talk like Randy Orton?
Basically.
You put a little bit too much emphasis on Orton.
So you get to do all the plugs as robotic.
Wait, all your guys' plugs too?
All the plugs that we would want to plug.
All right. If you like the Drew Crew, follow Drew on Twitter. I don't know what his handle is or how he spells it. Or if you want to see him like offensive videos, find his YouTube on Mick Frickin' Dunn. Ken. Also, check out smartoutmoment.com for pink shirts and Dolph Ziggler jackets. Also, check out StephenWago.com to find out what Wago is doing. Make sure you tune back in to Mega Powers Radio every Monday night. Donate to Patreon, you cheap fuck. Thank you.
And there you go, folks. That's a wrap tonight here for the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. We hope you all enjoyed this show. Remember, join us every single Monday night live. Find us iTunes, Stitcher, Radio, TuneIn, and YouTube, and of course, smartoutmoment.com. We'll see you next week here on Mega Powers Radio. For Stephen Wago, for Tony Mago, for Drew White, I'm Mike Payton, and we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.